Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. In the world of business, we toss around words like marketing, messaging, and branding with wild abandon. We talk about how we need a clear brand message or marketing strategy, but do we really know what those words mean? Do we know what goes into creating an effective brand that moves our business forward? And how do we make sure we're going deeper rather than just tossing around marketing buzzwords? My guest today is an expert in these questions and more. Maria Ross is the founder and chief strategist of Red Slice, a branding and marketing consultancy based in Seattle. Her passion is storytelling, and she has advised startups, solopreneurs, nonprofits, and large enterprises on how to craft their brand story to engage, inform, and delight customers. Her almost 20 years of marketing and communications experience includes the likes of Microsoft, Monster.com, Accenture, Discovery Networks, Business Objects, Crave, Mudbay, and many startups and small businesses. Maria is the author of Branding Basics for Small Business, How to Create an Irresistible Brand on Any Budget, which has been endorsed by marketing gurus and best-selling authors. Her unique mix of business savvy and creativity enable her to come up with fresh marketing angles for her clients. Maria, having been to one of your presentations recently and experienced firsthand and in person all of your energy and knowledge, I'm really excited to have you on the podcast today.
I am excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Maria. And, you know, this is called the Introvert Entrepreneur, and I know from talking with you that you are more like an extrovert entrepreneur. and so I'm correct about that, right?
Absolutely, yes. I'm a full-fledged extrovert. I need my alone time just like anybody else, but I am probably more on the extrovert side.
Ah, yes. And so, you know, given though your experiences in marketing and branding and working with a wide range of clients, I'm guessing that you've got some ideas about what introverts need to understand about branding. And I'm wondering what your perspective is on that.
Well, that's a great question, because I think that that word, as well as marketing and selling and all of that, might scare some introverts. And the most effective branding and marketing is not about talking. It's about listening. So it's really about listening to your customers, understanding their needs and what they care about. And so in many ways, it's sort of an unselfish act. You're not out there on stage necessarily touting what you want to say, but you are telling a story about what people want to hear when you're doing effective branding. So branding is really telling your story to your customer base, but in a way that they benefit from, in a way that they value. So in its purest form, you can think of brand as making a promise and then ensuring that your company or your business delivers on it. And that's what really exhibits an effective brand. And so it's not about salesmanship. It's not about beating the drum and always being out there and telling your story in a one-way direction. But branding is really about making that promise and delivering on it through everything that you do, not just verbally by what you say to people or what your ad copy says or your website or even your speaking engagements or your elevator pitch, but also, you know, visually, your colors, your logo, your design, and most importantly, exhibiting your brand experientially. So you've gone to market and you've said these things and you've created this subconscious design message, and now do you really deliver on it? Where does the rubber meet the road? And so it's really a very interactive and two-way communication, because a brand always needs to evolve to ensure that you are meeting the needs of your customers and not just, this is what I want to tell you, this is what I have to say.
Yeah, so it sounds like what I appreciate about what you're saying is that there's, just like sometimes there's a misunderstanding of what it means to be an introvert, there's a misunderstanding of what it means to be engaged in branding activities or selling.
Absolutely, absolutely. The most effective brands and the most effective sellers, if you will, are people that are reacting to needs of a customer base. so usually the brands that kind of annoy us the most or the companies that annoy us the most are the ones that just keep talking and it doesn't really matter if someone's in the room or not.
Mm-hmm.
versus a brand is really a two-way conversation.
And that is something that introverts can get their heads around for sure. Especially that part where you're talking about, you know, being a listener and speaking to their needs as opposed to what our needs are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's all about authenticity, really. I mean, there's a market for everything. There's a market for high-end luxury. There's a market for cheap and disposable. There's a market for playful, whimsical, and there's a market for serious and conservative. And so, what I would tell your listeners to do is just really think about themselves as a business person, as an entrepreneur. What can they authentically deliver? And only promise what they can authentically deliver. Because the brands that get into trouble are the ones that promise something they can't deliver. So if you are an introvert, and, you know, it could be any line of business, but if you're not wacky and crazy and hip and modern and cool, then you don't have to go out and say that's what you are. Because, again, that's where you're going to get into trouble. But start from a really authentic place. What are your company and your own strengths? What are the benefits that you provide and the value that you provide? And then that's the story that you tell to the world and your brand.
And that really affirms introvert strengths as opposed to us feeling like we have to put on an extrovert mask to be out there.
Absolutely not.
You know, because
yeah, absolutely not.
I can't sustain
that. It's all
got to
start from that place of authenticity. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for affirming that. So as an entrepreneur, you know, it's about telling our story, making a promise and delivering on that promise. Why else is branding important to an entrepreneur to have really clear thoughts about?
Well, brand is not only that customer connection. I always like to tell people that brand is important to your business in three ways, and I call them the three C's. It's clarity, customers, and coin. And clarity is more about if you know your brand strategy and your brand and who you are or what you represent, what value you provide, then you're much more clear on where you need to be investing your time and your money. Because part of branding is really making sure you know your target customer intimately. And so instead of sort of going out there and performing what I call random acts of marketing, where you just go after the next shiny thing because yeah. It all looks like a great opportunity, brand really gives you focus and clarity, and it sort of acts like a compass to say, okay, I'm thinking about investing in this ad or in this event or going after this customer base. You know, what's my litmus test? What is my brand? Does that align? Does that make sense? Is that really where I want to be going? So it's sort of your clarity and your map about what investments you should be making and, more importantly, what investments you shouldn't be making. And then secondly, customers, like we just talked about in the first question, it's really about putting a story and a message out there that attracts people. So you want them coming to you. It's not necessarily you going out there and beating them over the head. So you want to be really clear and consistent in how you communicate your brand, because that's what attracts people. A confused customer, I like to say, is a customer that will now be a customer of your competitor. Because if your messages are all across the board, your brand's all across the board, you know, your blog kind of has this snarky, sassy tone, but your website is very plain and conservative, and then your offerings are meant for, you know, no one's really sure what your offerings are meant for. The more confused that you make a prospective customer, the more they're just going to say forget it and go to your competitor. So you need that clarity in order to attract the customers, the second C. And then lastly, coin, it's really about, again, that investment guide of saving money where it makes sense and spending money where it makes sense. And you're going to make much smarter investments if you really understand your brand and you have your brand strategy fully baked.
And as entrepreneurs, and especially solopreneurs, often we're starting out with rather limited resources and in that coin area. And so,
exactly.
So what I'm hearing is that it really behooves us to be very clear about, you know, that story and who our customer is so that we can maximize however, you know, small or large that pool of coins happens to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's better to invest in something where you're going to hit 500 of the right buying audience then invest in something because you're lulled by, oh, I'm going to be in front of 5,000 people and none of those people will buy from you. And I've heard that story time and time again from clients and people at speaking engagements that I've given where they say things to me like, oh, I know I invested $2,000 to have a booth at this event because there was going to be 5,000 people there, but I've got no sales leads. And then you come to find out when you help them sort of think through clarifying their brand and their brand story, they probably never should have been there in the first place. And, you know, that's painful. That's not something that you want to deal with, like you said, when you're strapped for time and strapped for money. And, you know, as a lot of us are solopreneurs as well, we're doing everything ourselves. So we don't want to waste that energy or that money.
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing up that word energy and time, because again, you know, to bring us back to that extrovert or the introvert piece of one of the things that's just as valuable to us as the money is our time and our energy and rationing out and pacing ourselves wisely. And we're better able to do that when we have that clarity that you're talking about.
Yeah, and to an introvert especially, you know, if something is really a good fit and it aligns with your brand, it's not going to feel like as much work. If you are going to an event where it's the exact right event and they're the exact right buying audience for you, then the conversation is less of a sales conversation and more of a conversation because it's a natural, organic fit versus trying to, you know, cram a square peg into a round hole and, again, wasting that energy on conversations and pitching and giving your elevator pitch to an audience that wouldn't be receptive to it in the first place.
So I know that you've done a lot of research, you know, for your book and for your business about company brands. What kind of what company brand do you admire most, and why?
I love this question. I have a huge brand crush on Virgin America.
Brand crush, I love it.
I do. I just love it. And Virgin America is an airline. It flies to limited cities in the U.S., so it's different from Virgin Atlantic, which flies overseas. We're all kind of familiar with Virgin and Richard Branson, the multi-billionaire brains behind the whole Virgin brand. They have music, they have airlines, they have space travel. Virgin Galactic is one of their brands.
Wow.
But Virgin America is an airline brand that flies to a few cities in the U.S., and it's actually a discount airline, which you wouldn't really expect from Virgin because you kind of think of high-end, luxury, hip, you know, where all the jet-setters fly. But it's a discount airline, and they just walk their talk. That's why I love them. They have really found a way to delight customers and convey their brand through every single customer touch point, big or small. And that's the big thing with brand, is you've got to know your brand strategy and then clearly and consistently communicate it across everything that you do, whether it's everything from your voicemail message on your office phone to your email signature to how you wrap a purchase, to how you, you know, what kind of thank you do you send customers. All those little customer touch points are opportunities to convey your brand. And Virgin America just does a killer job with this very irreverent, sassy, kind of hip, kind of edgy brand, cheeky, I like to say. And they really have used every opportunity that they're in front of a customer to convey that. So as an example, they have signs at the airport. They're the normal signs at the gate that say, you know, you need to check the size of your carry-on bag and make sure that it fits into the space. But they were like, hey, we want to use that as an opportunity to convey this cheeky, irreverent brand. So the phrasing on the sign says, while impressive, if your bag is bigger than such and such, sorry, it can't travel with you. So they found an opportunity. They could have been lazy and said, we just need a sign. And it has to have this information on it, and we've given the information, check the box, we're done. They found a way to convey that cheeky brand even in that sign. They do it on board with their in-flight safety video, which is a very conceptual animation with all these crazy characters, and it's just very funny, and there's even, you know, for the point 00099% of you who've never used a safety belt before, here's how it works. So, you know, again, they could have just been lazy and just got a standard safety video created, but they didn't. They thought, we've got this captive audience. We want them to have the Virgin experience. Our mission is to make flying fun again. So by gosh, we're going to make flying fun again, and you're not going to sit through a boring safety video. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I love every time I fly them, I find something new, and I find something exciting that I maybe didn't notice before. And so I just think they do an excellent job of remembering that the details matter when it comes to branding and really finding unique and surprising ways to delight your customer, because that's what's going to get them talking. That's what's getting me talking about them to you right now and
right.
tweeting about them and putting them out on Facebook. So if you really want to build buzz for your company, little things really mean a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like they found an evangelist in you.
Absolutely. I love them. I just absolutely love them.
Well, but you're making me think about the lesson that is transferable to entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. You know, they're a big company, and yet we're all dealing with details large and small and all levels of touch with clients and potential clients and potential partners. And so paying attention to those details sounds like it's hugely important.
Oh, definitely. And what ties it all together is having that clear brand strategy to begin with. So you're not just randomly picking things to do, but you have this brand strategy that says, this is who I am, this is my personality, this is the value I provide, and my mission, if you will. And so now you have a basis, again, going back to that clarity and having a guide. So now what can I do when they walk into my store? What can I do when they come to my website? What can I do with the automated email that confirms their purchase? All of those things you can start to put into a context and say, okay, I want them to have a consistent brand experience across everything. And some things you have to do anyway, so you might as well make them consistent with your brand. Like, again, your email signature or your office voicemail message. You have to have an office voicemail message anyway, so you might as well do something that is consistent with your brand. You know, we're not talking about spending a lot of money, but just really being thoughtful and intentional with the different customer touch points is so important, regardless of how much money you have to spend.
Yeah, I'm flashing back to working with a graphic designer, and I was in a position where I was interviewing various graphic designers, and one of them had submitted her materials and whatnot, and after the interview, she sent a thank you card, but it was in a different shape. It wasn't just your traditional sort of corporate thank you. And I'll never forget, for some reason, she had a paper clip on it, but it wasn't a paper clip. It was one of these sort of spirally kinds of clips that was colorful. And there was just something about that really struck me, that, you know, she was consistently portraying herself as a creative, outside-the-box kind of person. And that was really impressive, and she's the one that got the job for many reasons, and I still remember that. So it is the little details sometimes that can differentiate you from other people.
Absolutely, and what's great about that is all of those things are consistent with her theme of creativity. If it was a business that is maybe more formal and professional and conservative, there might be different ways that they choose to express that are consistent with their brand. So it's not always about the craziest thing or the most creative thing, but it's what's your brand, what's your authentic brand, and then what can you do instead of, again, like you said, a boring paperclip? Could there be something else that you can do with that customer touch point to really, what I like to call, seal your brand into their hearts and minds?
Absolutely. And my next question has to do with, you know, the components of a strong brand strategy. And you've absolutely named some of those. Wonder if you wouldn't mind kind of recapping in a nutshell what you see as the key components.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, there's a lot of companies that spend a lot, you know, large branding agencies that really dig deep and take 6 months and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on building a brand strategy. But when it comes right down to it, that's kind of why I wrote the book that I wrote, Branding Basics, because it walks people through the fundamental 10 questions that you need to answer to build a strong brand strategy. And the book is not about read this book and it will give you the answer to the brand that you need, because everybody's business is different. Everybody's market is different. Everyone as a person is different to what they can authentically deliver. But it's knowing to answer these 10 questions about your business and think through them. So the most important components that those questions include are, who is my ideal audience? And not your generic or your average audience, but ideally, you've got to have something to aim for. It doesn't mean you won't sell to people that don't fit that checklist, but you need to at least have an aim to guide your marketing investments and, like we talked about earlier, your time and your energy. What are the benefits that you provide? Not what do you sell or what do you do or what do you offer, but what does the customer get from their point of view? Do they get thinner? Do they save time? Do they get healthier? Do they feel less stressed? Does their business earn more money? Whatever it is, people don't want to hear about what you do. They want to hear about what they get. So really thinking through creating a brand and a brand strategy that addresses the most important fundamental benefits that a customer will receive from you. And they can talk to them about how you deliver that and how you do that. And then the final one I would say for one of the most important components of those questions is really what personality is your company? What is the persona? If your company was a person or a character or a car or a TV show or a movie, what would it be? Is it an Audrey Hepburn or is it, Amy Winehouse?
Very different.
Who is your company as a person? And that's derived from who your customer base is and what appeals to them, and then getting back to what we started this conversation with, what you can authentically deliver. So you don't want to promise you're going to be Sharon Osbourne if you can't deliver that. So you want to make sure that you're picking a company personality that makes sense for your customer base and that attracts them, but that also is something that you can deliver upon.
So, Maria, what you're saying is making me think about a phrase we hear a lot, which is features versus benefits. And would you mind taking a second to give us a quick snapshot of how we can tell if we're talking about a feature versus a benefit?
Absolutely. And I alluded to this earlier about really making sure that you're taking the customer's point of view and what they get from your products or your services. So benefits are what they get from their point of view. Features are what you provide. So a really easy example to get your arms around this is if you think about a car manufacturer, they might offer things like ergonomic safety belts and anti-lock brakes and special side impact airbags. Those are all features. Those are all sort of things that they provide. The capability is that it's the most advanced safety technology available. But the benefit is that it keeps you safe in a crash. That's a very different thing from a laundry list of what they sell or what they provide. You have to have a reason for somebody to care. And what I do with clients is this fun little exercise where to get them to the benefits, because a lot of times a lot of small business owners who are so close to their business, when I say, what are the benefits of your company, they'll say something like, oh, well, we sell organic yoga clothing. But again, that's not a benefit. That's a feature. That's what they sell. So I usually dig into a line of questioning where I keep going, so what? So why does that matter? So why does that matter? And it's a little bit like therapy. And You go in and you just keep asking until they finally, all of a sudden, I don't know what happens. It's like this magical thing where their mind just clicks and it turns. And they start talking, they go from talking about my company, me, to you get. And when they flip over to the you get, that's when they've landed on the benefit. And it's like this big aha moment. So if you look at your website or your brochures and you're finding that, now that your listeners are hearing this, maybe they can go back and do a little quick messaging audit. You're always talking about yourself, which, introverts are probably very good about maybe not talking about themselves.
Yeah, it probably could go one way or the other, depending.
Yeah, exactly. But you can look and you can see if everything's starting with us, I, me, we do, we provide, we sell, we offer, you might not be really tapping into the benefit that's going to make us a customer who customers are selfish beings because it's their money and their time. Really, what's in it for them?
Everyone's favorite radio station, WIFM.
What's exactly.
Yeah.
I like that.
So it sounds like, what I appreciate about that what exercise is it gets us from the technical, surface, tangible things to the emotional, to the underpinning, and then what would speak to somebody's heart.
Absolutely. Even things that are B2B or you're selling to a business, you're still selling to a person, and also there's benefits to a business. They don't always have to be purely emotional, like you know, make you sad, make you happy, make you lose weight, whatever. But to a business, as an example, there's a lot of technology companies I've worked with, and the benefit is not all the crazy cool widgets and, you know, thousands of gigabytes of space and all these really cool bells and whistles of the software. It's, you make my job easier. You make my company run more efficiently. You save us money to our bottom line every year. You enable us not to have to lay off employees. I mean, those are benefits. That's what the customer, even if it's a business, is getting from your product or service.
So even before I get to the next question of biggest mistakes, I'm having this supreme urge to hang up and quickly go to my website and find out how feature versus benefit my language. So
yeah.
I appreciate that, because that's a really, you've given us some great keywords, you know, or clues, red flags, I guess, of what to look for in that. So my sense is that's probably one of the mistakes that a lot of business owners make with their brand, is being feature-centric as opposed to touting the benefits.
Absolutely. That was actually what I know we were going to talk about that a little. Big number two was, you know, that you talk features and not benefits. And just the caveat I want to give to the listeners out there is it doesn't mean you don't ever tell people what you actually do. You've got to get to that point where it's like, are you a product or a service? But it's what you kind of hook them in with and what you really, the picture that you want to paint for them. So that is really one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of entrepreneurs make, because they know their businesses so intimately and it's our baby and we just want to talk about our baby and what we do and we do all this cool stuff and we don't connect the dots for people. So we think just by saying that we do this, the benefit is implied. Well, like, of course, if I'm a nutritional counselor, of course the benefit is that I help you get healthier and have more energy in your life and blah, blah, blah. But if you don't say that, people, I mean, we all know we're inundated by marketing messages these days. And so you've got to really connect the dots for people. And even if it's implied, even if it's implicit, you have to say it. And you can say it and articulate it in creative ways that really make you stand out.
What other missteps do you see entrepreneurs making?
I think the other big one is getting back to one of the 10 brand strategy questions I alluded to earlier that are in the book, which is about defining your ideal audience. So I get a lot of clients who have a very general, what I call the big amorphous blob of audience. Like, we sell to women. Women is a huge category. I mean, yes, conceivably, any woman anywhere might be able to buy your product or service. Let's say you sell a bra or you sell a skirt. But really, the same product or service that's going to appeal to, as just as using gender and age demographics, for example, just is going to appeal to a, you know, 60-year-old grandmother in Des Moines might not be the same product or service that's going to appeal to a 27-year-old single designer in LA. So you really have to think about who ideally is your product or service meant for, and aim for that person. And if other people get caught in that net, that's great. But if you don't have something guiding your efforts and your energy and, more importantly, your marketing spend, you're just going to sort of be all over the place. You've got to consistently try to create a brand that's going to appeal to your ideal target audience. And you can have two or three segments, if you like, to go after different people. But what are the commonalities of that big amorphous group that you can really hone in on and go after? The other thing it'll do is it'll help your communications be a little bit more personal and create communications that really connect with people. Because people can tell when you're talking to thousands or talking to them and their needs. And so you want to have that person in mind as you write copy and as you develop products and services, so that you always sort of have this sanity check of, is this going to be right for this person?
So what you're saying is bringing up that I've encountered, since I'm a coach, I know mostly about my fellow coaches, but sometimes there's an intellectual knowledge that I need to find my ideal client. I need to narrow my market. Yet there's some resistance that's there somewhere on an emotional level. What do you attribute that resistance to?
I think people are afraid. I think what happens is that they perceive creating an ideal customer profile as a sales checklist, meaning only if I find this perfect individual that I'm creating, this perfect Jane Doe, will I be able to sell my product. And so for some reason they can't get past the hurdle that this doesn't mean you're not going to sell to somebody that's outside of this target audience. This is just about a guide to help you create a brand that connects with people, to help you guide your investments and your time and your energy. And if other people outside of that ideal audience approach you and are interested in your brand and your brand resonates for them and they want to buy your products or services because of the benefits that you provide, it's not like you're a bouncer at a club with a clipboard going, I'm sorry, you're not on the list.
Yes, I'm sorry, you do not have brown eyes.
Right, exactly. And so it's great. I did a workshop once where I was reading, serendipitously, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal just that morning about Hyundai, the car maker. And they were creating sort of a new line of cars or doing some stuff to some of their existing models, I can't remember which, where they were targeting these sort of urban downsizers, so people that maybe had a huge house out in the burbs and they now were moving back into the city and going to one car and they were, you know, maybe moving into condos or townhomes or things like that. And so the article listed who their ideal customer was. It said something about, you know, a couple in their 40s who, you know, been married about 10 years and they both have successful careers and they like to eat healthy and they're very ecologically conscious. And they've moved back into the city and they're downsizing to one car. And so the joke that I brought up in the class was, it doesn't mean that if somebody in their 60s who doesn't live in a city wants to buy a Hyundai, it doesn't mean Hyundai won't sell them one of those cars. They're still going to. But they had to have some sort of an ideal customer in their head. Even though Hyundai has millions of dollars and, you know, lots of people working on their marketing, they still go through this exercise to say, we have to have a target to shoot for. And if, you know, if you think about a bullseye target, you know, or a darts target, the bullseye is in the center, but there's all those rings around it. So if you don't paint your centered dot, you don't know where to aim. So it's okay if maybe somebody aims and hits one of the rings outside the bullseye or hits, you know, the third ring outside the bullseye. It's okay. You still made it onto the dartboard. Mm-hmm. But you have to have somewhere to aim your efforts, and that's what an ideal customer profile can do for you. It's like if the dartboard was painted all white, how would you know where the center was?
Right. How would you know when you hit the bullseye?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, at least, you know, you can get close. And like I said, if someone outside of that ideal profile wants to buy from you, you will gladly sell to them.
And I see that bullseye as being the place where, you know, going back to that original coin part of the brand questions, where you're going to be investing your time and energy and money. And if that's where your focus is, then as the circles that are coming on the outside, you might not be spending time or money there, but you will attract those customers into your net somehow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we can all think probably of examples in our own lives where we're attracted to music that maybe is not meant for us, or clothing that's maybe not meant for us. Or, you know, a restaurant that, you know, I always joke, I love Jeopardy. I love watching Jeopardy. And I don't think I'm the target audience for Jeopardy. My parents in their 80s watch Jeopardy. And you can tell by the commercials when I'm watching Jeopardy that it's definitely not meant for me. But I still watch it. There's something about it that appeals to me. And so it's the same thing. It's if you've got a brand that's really delivering value and is what somebody's looking for, if they're not necessarily in your ideal audience profile, they'll still find you. They'll find a way to find you.
And one thing I'm taking away from what you're saying is that it's also not so much about the demographic, but sometimes what that demographic represents. So when you were talking
Absolutely.
About the Hyundai people, there's something that there might be some common values that those people have that mm-hmm. aren't exclusive to the 40-something couple who's been married 10 years and is downsizing.
That is so true. It's the psychographic information, the aspirational information that can tie people together. So kind of going back to my Jeopardy example, I'm very competitive. So it doesn't matter that I'm, you know, maybe way younger than the normal Jeopardy viewer. The benefit of the competitive trivia game on Jeopardy is what appeals to me, and that's who they're going after. And so if you think of a business or anything like that with a brand, it's the same kind of thing. It's what's the value or what's the psychographic information or the need that you're fulfilling. So when we go back to the example I was using earlier about companies that say they target women, what kinds of women are they targeting? And it doesn't necessarily have to be by age. It could be by where they live or what they do for a living or are they married or single? All of those other aspects to the person that could define the commonalities across those different groups.
So Maria, as we wrap up here, you've shared a ton of fabulous information, and it's reminding me that anytime I start thinking about marketing and branding and all of that, I can get overwhelmed and start to feel like, oh, where do I even begin? So I'm wondering, for our purposes, if you have maybe two or three things that we can do with just a small investment of time or money to strengthen or clarify our brand.
I have a couple ideas before that don't even require you to spend any money. It just might require you to spend some time thinking about these things. One is definitely identify your ideal customer. And that's just sit down for an hour or so, think about customers you've sold to that were the ones that you really liked working with or were the best representation of your company for you. And map out these personas. Who's Jane? Who is Michael? Who is David? And map out maybe 1 to 3 audience segments, audience character profiles, if you will. Tell me who they are, where they live, are they married or single, do they have kids, what do they like to read, what do they like to do in their spare time, do they drive to work or do they take public transportation, where do they live, all of that stuff. And really just create a character. Have fun with it. Go have a glass of wine and sit down and get creative.
Lighten up.
Exactly. And you'll start to see, if you do that, you'll start to see, all of a sudden, you'll start to see marketing opportunities that you never thought about present themselves as you're kind of going through this person's day. So that's always a fun one I always recommend people do. Number 2 is really to craft the brand strategy with the 10 questions before investing another dime in any marketing or branding or design or writing. And again, that's just an investment of time, spending a few hours, sitting down, thinking about your benefits and your differentiators and your audience and all of that good stuff, and creating that brand positioning statement that says, this is who I am, this is the value that I provide, and this is who I provide it for. And then the other fun thing is, once you have that brand strategy and you kind of know who you are and you know what your story is and what your message is, then you can leverage free stuff out there. So you can start to leverage if you've got a blog on your website, you can start to decide, well, these are the things I'm going to start blogging about, or doing videos or podcasts. Which we can all do from the comfort of our own office now. You can start to decide what you want to communicate over social media. So Facebook is free, Twitter is free, all of that great stuff is free. So really get out there and leverage that free stuff first before you go investing a lot of money. But again, before you even leverage the free stuff, it's important to have the brand strategy baked so you know what you're communicating through all those free channels.
And the 10 questions that you referred to help someone get clarity on that brand strategy are found in your book. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes. I wanted to create something where if people wanted to do things themselves and wanted to work on their own,
mm-hmm.
and just sort of, again, sit down with a glass of wine for a while and come up with their own strategy first, they know their business better than anyone. And a lot of times I often feel like I'm just playing the role of a brand therapist where I'm pulling the answers out of them. But really, you know your business and your customers. You're so close to your customers, closer than I could ever be. And so if you just spend the time answering those questions, through that process of answering those questions, some themes will emerge, some phrases will come up over and over again. You might come up with a tagline while you're going through all of those things. And so it's just really important to have that strategy baked before you spend any money on any marketing.
And one thing I appreciate about your book, as I'm flipping through here, those questions, it's in part 2 called How to Build Your Brand Strategy. You've interspersed it with some, real life examples of brands and related those back to the questions. And I know I always appreciate having those examples of, okay, so how does this move from theory to action?
Absolutely. And, you know, I used some big company examples sort of in the narrative just to give people an idea and bring these things home for people. But I did have a lot of case studies of small businesses, so cash-strapped, time-strapped businesses who are using brand for something way more than just their logo. They're using brand to determine their voice. Like there's an example of an online dog treats and supply company that all of their communications are written from the voice of the owner's dog. That's using brand. I mean, that's saying, okay, we know what our customers care about and the value that we deliver, and this is a differentiating factor for us. So actually it says on their about page that it's Betsy the farm dog that's running the company, and the two owners are actually her employees. So she found a unique way to communicate her brand. There's other small businesses in there that are using brand to decide where they should be advertising, using brand to decide who they should be distributing their products through, or using brand to decide, you know, what products or services they're going to offer. So it's so much more than just your logo, which I think is the big takeaway here, is that the brand strategy can really just help you run your business and communicate everything about it more effectively.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of businesses start with their logo, when really that probably is something that comes after, at the end of some of this processing and reflection.
Ideally, yeah. Ideally, you kind of bake your brand strategy, and even clients that we take on, because initially they come to us and say, we need our visual identity and our logo. We go through a brand strategy process first, because there's no way a designer can know what they're supposed to visually communicate if they don't know what they're supposed to visually communicate. And that's the challenge that with some entrepreneurs is they go with what they like versus what's the best for their customer base and the value that they can provide.
And your questions really helped, are a great starting point, I think, for someone to begin to even acquaint themselves with what they should be thinking about or what would be important to think about and the language that they might be using to talk to someone like you who would help them or a designer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the goal. That's the goal with the book. An easy way to do it, you know, spend the time on the strategy part, maybe doing some of that themselves, even if they can't ultimately, you know, design the logo or build the website. But that is going to save them a lot of billable hours with those types of vendors and contractors, because they're already going to know their story. They're going to know what they want. And then a designer might even hug you if you actually handed them a
Like, you're my favorite client ever.
I know. I talk to so many frustrated designers that, you know, oh, well, just whip something up for me. And they don't give them any guidance. And so this is going to help you think through the answers so that you can provide that guidance to a social media consultant, to a writer, a freelance writer that you might be hiring for your website, to a designer that's either doing your logo or doing your website or designing your brochures. And so you really can use that brand strategy to make some really good business decisions.
Yeah. And what I appreciate about your book is that it's it educates and empowers us to be able to get our heads around that process and what it means and how to create something that's a strategy. And I would suggest that it also reminds us, while it's basics, it's also a complicated process and not something, it's not exactly a do-it-yourself activity. So I would, at least for myself, I would encourage people to read books like Maria's and then seek out professional assistance with implementing what
it's
shared. Because I'm guessing there's a lot of clients who come to you who've done the do-it-yourself for a long time. And it really shows when there's a step up in that level of professionalism.
And it's true. And I've even had some folks that have called me prospective clients. And when I dig in and they've done some of this thinking already, sometimes it's not me that they need. It's actually somebody else. And so it's really understanding the difference between all these social media and branding and design and marketing consultants, so you're not wasting your money with all these different people. If you know how to think about your brand, then you can figure out, okay, to execute this, I need a writer, I need a designer, I need a social media expert. But when you don't have the strategy, the brand strategy at the core of it all first, you don't even know what you need. And the problem is I see that there's a lot of consultants out there who sort of take advantage of that confusion and say, you know, somebody might go to a social media consultant, let's say, and ask them to create a brand strategy. And of course, then that's going to be heavy on social media because that's what that person knows. Or, you know, if you go to someone who is very well versed as a website programmer or website designer in a particular platform, they're always going to recommend that. So it's helpful to go and do the strategy work yourself and then figure out what the best course of execution is based on that strategy. Because if you go to one of the executors for the strategy, they're always going to recommend what they are good at.
So Maria, there's a question I usually ask at the end of interviews about taking books to Introvert Island, but since you have confirmed for us that you're an extrovert, I'm shifting that question and wondering what three books are on your nightstand right now?
Well, I am an avid reader. I think this is the introvert part of me when I need to be alone. So I've got a couple of random books on my nightstand right now. One is Water for Elephants, which is my book club picked that. I think it's been out a while, by Sarah Gruen, and it's the story of a Depression-era circus. It's a fictional tale. So that's been kind of interesting. And then the other one I have is called, it's a business book, it's called The Commodity Trap, Breaking the Commodity Trap. And it's about how to differentiate and stand out when your product or service is considered a commodity and most people buy based on price. So that's been an interesting one because I've had a few clients that kind of fall in that category. And then the last one that's on my nightstand that I just finished is called, I haven't started it. It's called Delivering Happiness. It's the book by the CEO of Zappos. And it's all about how he created a very delightful brand, how he created a company that is driven by mission and values and created a very innovative employee and hiring model, and how he basically delivers happiness to his employee, to his customers. And going back to our conversation, you know, it's interesting that he titled his book that because his company is about selling shoes, but they're not really about selling shoes, are they? So obviously they're about delivering happiness. So there's a larger mission in his brand that he's trying to fulfill, and it's going to be, I can't wait to dig into that one and see what he has to say about building that brand.
I'm so glad you mentioned that one because I read that one a month or two ago when it first came out. Yeah, and I was thinking about that with the brand promise and delivering on that promise, and I actually happened to pick up an extra copy of it this past weekend. So I'm going to add something to this podcast, which is, since I don't need this extra copy, and to support Maria's nightstand reading, I would say that the first person who emails me and says, you know, I want a copy of Delivering Happiness, just give me your snail mail address and I will ship it off to you as a thank you for being a podcast listener and to help spread the word about what it takes to make a good brand. So I will provide that email address here in the closing, but I wanted to make that offer. So thanks for bringing up
that
book.
And I'd also like to make you another offer if you're interested.
Sure.
You would like to raffle off a copy of Branding Basics for Small Business to one of your listeners, I would be happy to do that as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. And before I let you go here, how can people learn more about you and your book and your services?
Well, they can check out the website, which is red-slice.com. They can follow me on Twitter at redslice, or they can join the Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/redslice. And there's all the information about the book as well on the website and also on the Facebook fan page. So they can check it out and order some copies for themselves or for other entrepreneurs they know or any of their business groups. That would be great.
Terrific. And I have to ask you, since you brought up the whole brand persona thing and, you know, is it Audrey Hepburn or Amy Winehouse, how would you characterize the brand of your business?
Well, I have been thinking about the person for a really long time. I would say maybe like sort of like Tina Fey, in that kind of smart, kind of sassy. And I mean, I really used kind of the word sassy, smart, and fresh when I describe my brand. At least I hope that's what I'm representing. So that's how I try to stand out from all the myriad marketing consultants out there.
Well, Well, thank you so much, Maria, for joining us today and sharing so much wisdom and information with us. And again, your business is Red Slice. So if people want to find you online, they can Google Red Slice or Maria Ross or go to the addresses you shared and they will find you. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This is Beth Bielow, the Introvert Entrepreneur. A very special thank you to Maria Ross for joining me today, and thanks to you for spending this time with us. As we mentioned at the close of the podcast, if you'd like to win a free copy of Delivering Happiness by Tony Hsieh, be the first person to write Deliver Me Some Happiness in the comment section of this post on theintrovertentrepreneur.com. The second person to comment and say, Deliver Me Some Happiness, will be sent a free copy of Maria's book, Branding Basics for Small Business. I'll follow up with the winners to get their mailing address. So I hope you'll continue to join me each week for insights, information, and inspiration for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.